first question.
Yeah, we have some great questions. Hi, everyone. I'm Siobhan Sarna. Welcome to our food marble exploration about the Air 2. What is this? Is a handheld breath testing device where you're going to be able to check fermentation levels. You're going to be able to check in the very near future how supplements are responding, how different treatments are responding, because there's some updates that we're going to be giving you today. My name is Siobhan Sarna. I founded SIBO SOS. I wrote the book Healing SIBO. I've done 9 summits, including the docuseries Digestion SOS, Rescue and Relief for IBS, SIBO, and Leaky Gut. My colleague and dear friend, Dr. Allison Seebecker, and my co-host for today is here. Hi, Dr. Seebecker.
Hi, everyone. Welcome.
You know Dr. Seebecker from the course SIBO Recovery Roadmap, from her website, SIBOinfo.com, from her conferences, from working with the SIBO SOS summits, and on and on and on. The way that you would work with Dr. Seebecker typically online in the past was through, you know, telemedicine. She was a pioneer in that. But right now she is in what I call deep cabin mode, writing her book on SIBO. So we're very excited and in anticipation of that. And Dr. Seebecker and I are so pleased to be able to co-host this webinar for you all. Now, the other players here on your screen are, of course, our background helpmate, Clarissa. Shout out to you, my friend. She is here and is going to be in chat to answer your questions. I will put on subtitles. Thanks for the reminder. The subtitles are apparently hysterical and sort of awful, and they say my name as like a cuss word. So occasionally, don't worry about it, but do what you can. Have it help if it helps. Great. So we also have Dr. Josh Goldenberg here, who is the person who's taking over for Dr. Seebecker's practice while Dr. Seebecker is writing her book, the referring doctor. And we have the pleasure of having him do a recent masterclass on the topic of food marble and how he's using it clinically. And the title was, "Is it a game changer?" The answer is yes. And it's great to have you here, Josh. I invited him back with Dr. Seebecker to answer more questions, because sometimes when you get into cutting edge technology, the information leads to, wow, what about this? What about this? What about this? Like more and more questions. So he is renowned for his research and deeply respected within this community. So it's great to have you here, Dr. Goldenberg. Thank you. And then we have Claire Short, who is up there looking very wise. And Claire was just telling us about her background before we started rolling and recording. So would you just do a recap of that? Because it's so interesting.
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody. So my background is in microbiology. I have a PhD in infection biology, and the bacteria I focused on mostly was Campylobacter jejuni. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people here will be familiar with that bacteria as it's associated with the development of post-infectious IBS. So it's a very smart bacteria and it does a lot of damage in the gut. So after my PhD, I moved to New York and I wanted to kind of get a better understanding of human biology. So I joined a human biology lab where I studied inflammation for about 4 years before returning to Ireland and joining Food Marble, where I've been for the last over 4 years now, kind of leading all the scientific activities and clinical activities in the company. So that's my background.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And you are the sister of Angus Short. Hi. Okay. Hi, Angus, by the way.
Hi.
Angus, yes. We love also having your team members here, Anya and Barry, who are from the clinical staff at Food Marble, and they're going to be on tap to answer some, you know, clinical type questions a little bit behind the scenes today. So I'm actually, just for visual overload, going to ask you all to hide yourselves, even though we love you and you're beautiful. When we have some questions that you feel like you can answer, then go ahead and type in. But please do, as our participants, our beloved participants, do keep your questions for the Q&A box, because it is very busy and we do not want to diffuse the, not everybody hide. I met Anya and Barry. Come back. Come back. Angus, so tell us about, Allison, go back. Barry, I'm hiding you. Okay, Angus, so tell us how Food Marble came to be in your, you know, elevator pitch about how that all started.
Sure. Thanks, Siobhan. Yeah, it was actually my wife, who's my girlfriend at the time. She'd been struggling with digestive issues for a number of years, and she'd been through a process between her, you know, her family physician, her gastroenterologist, dietitian, and, you know, she wasn't getting any better. And for me, I came across breath testing via some of the work that was being done by the guys at Monash on the low FODMAP diet. And at the time, I just wanted to see, you know, could I actually make a device that could be used to measure these gases on the breath for Grace? And so, you know, it initially started out as a prototype to see if I could help Grace. And yeah, even though what I had was at that time was very basic, you could see that it could be helpful for her. So that's kind of where it started. And since then, we've, you know, now we're like a company of over 25 people. And, you know, we've two generations of consumer devices and two generations of medical devices as well. So we've came a long way. And really, the goal for us is to be able to make it possible for people to be able to manage these conditions either with them on their own or with the help of a practitioner. You know, we think both are good approaches, and ideally if you can get a really good practitioner. But yeah, it's just really to put the technology in the hands of the people who have these issues. And because we know these are the sorts of issues that haven't necessarily been that well catered for in healthcare sometimes. So yeah, that's our mission.
Well, you're hearing an amen from the crowd for sure, because everybody can appreciate how they have been frustrated at one stage or another. Maybe they do have an amazing practitioner, but just sometimes getting that question answered or getting into the appointment, or they can't find that practitioner. And of course, finances are always an issue. So yes, it's exciting to have a tool that can help with your practitioner. We're always huge fans of that, as well as in addition to and on your own and in between visits. So Dr. Seebecker and I have been fascinated with this technology. Allison, when you and I were talking about it, you were like, oh my gosh, think about the possibilities. You even helped to fund them in the beginning with like a GoFundMe campaign. You're so advocating for us, even putting your money where your mouth is, no pun intended.
You know, that was so exciting, you guys. And I got to pick my color or put in an idea for a color or something. It was when you were doing your starting up. It was great.
Well, I know that we've all been waiting to see how this technology can impact all of us as patients and practitioners for sure. So, Josh, I wanted to see how it was working for you in your practice. And then and we're just going to sort of freeform here, but at some point we are also, sooner rather than later, going to exactly go through step by step how to use the device. And we'll get to your questions. But I'm hoping to answer as many of those questions beforehand, simply from the content that we're going to be delving into. So Dr. Goldenberg, how are you using it in your practice?
Well, like you said, I really do think it is a game changer. I use it in a lot of different ways, and I'm playing with new ones all the time, which is really exciting. But I would say, big picture, I'm using it for formal SIBO testing, and Food Marble and Claire can talk about this, has formal studies comparing it to the gold standard on that. So I'm using it for formal SIBO testing. I'm using it for formal lactose and fructose malabsorption testing. I'm using it for tracking response to treatment. I'm using it for food response that isn't SIBO related, sort of large intestinal malfermentation. I also, and actually you may laugh at this, but like, it's a thing, is once people are in remission, they're terrified of a relapse. And so, what I have them do is buy one of these and just put it in their drawer. And so at the first sign of symptoms where they're really, really worried, and normally they'd have to wait to chat with me and order a new test and all this delay and all this time, they're worrying that the SIBO's come back. They just grab it and do a quick test and tag me in. And just knowing that it's there, I think, has been helpful for them as well. So yeah, so I'm using it for all sorts of things and having a blast.
Great. That's so great. Okay, thank you. And so what's some of the feedback from some of your patients? And then we're going to talk about how to use it as a patient.
Yeah, so usually the response is like, initially it's like, this is so much fun. That's usually the first feedback. Because you can do like, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, but like, you can do a zillion breath tests. So I use it very formally for all these clinical things. But Once, you know, the patient gets it, they just have a blast with it because they can do like up to hundreds of tests, and they're learning how their body works a little bit better and how their digestion works. And, you know, that's exciting for biohackers and patients, you know, in total. So anyway, so they usually find it pretty fun. And then just the convenience of being able to, because normally when like I really want to do a repeat test to see where they're at, and then it's a question about extra cost and time. I think they're really loving that they can just do a test and get the results right away.
Josh, I didn't do the best job ever in introducing you. Would you go over your bio a little bit for us, please?
Sure. Yeah. So lots of different hats, but in short, so I'm a teacher. My main focus is evidence-informed practice, evidence-based medicine, and evidence synthesis. I'm a researcher. So I'm a meta-analyst. So most of my job is combining evidence and doing evidence synthesis and popping out the take-home message, if you will. And then clinically, I see patients. So I'm covering for Dr. Seebecker, and I see patients mostly with IBS and SIBO.
Dr. Seebecker, do you want to talk about how much he's respected within the community?
Hugely, because we all especially need help, most of us clinicians, in understanding and interpreting research. And Josh is a researcher. You have like a sub or additional degree in research along with your naturopathic physician degree. I don't know what it's called, but I know you have it. And so he has been teaching us for a very long time now how to understand studies. And so we all just respect him so much. We revere him. If Josh says this evidence, he feels good about it or he's comfortable with it, then we know it's good.
Cool. I just heard you say that about Dr. Gervich was asking about it. And you were like, yeah, but Josh said.
Josh says. Like, oh. And she's like, oh, okay.
Okay. So let's talk about how someone would use the device. Claire and Angus, I know you have one right there. Can you just hold it up and show everybody? It's like, it's just this cutie little thing. And you, how do you use it? You would blow into it. Let's say someone wants to, so there are two ways. Someone to correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to say something and then someone correct me if I'm wrong. Drew will all enjoy that. So there are two ways at least to use this. And Josh, you were just talking about it. One is to track food intolerances. And, you know, SIBO and EMO cause a lot of food intolerances. So if you do it before you clear your SIBO EMO, it's probably going to be like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And if you just use it for tracking your gas levels for SIBO and EMO, then after you clear those conditions, it's perfection for testing your food intolerances. Is that, do you feel confident in that whole idea and concept? Is that a good approach? Anyone?
Yeah, well, just even from our perspective, certainly if you've been diagnosed with SIBO or EMO, or if that's suspected, you know, it's good to try and clear that first, you know, ideally with your practitioner. And, you know, once you've cleared that up, it's then much easier to identify food intolerances, because, you know, if you've got SIBO or EMO, you know, almost anything you eat or drink will often provoke significant fermentation, because for different reasons. But so it's hard to unpick food intolerances at that point. But once you've cleared it, that's a better time to look at, are some of these specific FODMAP components or fermentable components, are they causing an issue?
Yeah, sure. And I think if someone has SIBO and they know they suspect certain foods are triggering their symptoms while they're clearing the SIBO, they can definitely use the device kind of day to day by logging their meals. And then, so for example, log your breakfast, wait 30 minutes or an hour, depending on how fast your digestion is. And you can take a breath test kind of every hour for 3 hours after each meal. And then that way, then you can see if that meal and the components in that meal are triggering kind of excess gas for you. That being said, once your SIBO is cleared, I definitely would go back and check the individual sugars one by one to ensure you're not over restricting your diet. Because I think, you know, that's something that's very important, and it's kind of a message we always want to communicate. We want to use our device to kind of increase diet diversity rather than kind of restrict. But while you're being treated, it's good to kind of identify what's triggering your symptoms while you're kind of going through that kind of treatment plan.
Awesome. Fantastic. And Josh, you do that, everything we've just talked about, I know, but now also that whole idea about the prevention in, you know, helping people to like not freak out or to take action is a great idea. I hadn't really thought about it in that like way before. So I'm so glad you said that. Isabella is saying, I'm both a practitioner and patient waiting for my device. And thanks to you guys set up the portal and it was pain-free. I would like to learn how to see on the clinician portal. So we are, but this is a mixed audience. We have both patients and practitioners. And is there a benefit? Josh, are you seeing people in person or are you just telemedicine?
I'm full telemedicine now.
Okay. Some people were asking, they have their own practices where actually patients come in physically. Is there a benefit to having a practitioner have a device in the office to do like a spot check with a patient?
Oh, that's an interesting idea. Yeah, I would, well, I don't know about, you'd have to clear it. And then, you know, I don't know about contamination with germs and there'd be all those issues. So you'd have to get sort of a mouthpiece maybe. And then also, and maybe Clara Angus can talk to this. Sorry, the doctor's short. if it's a continuous use device, I know it's standardized in the manufacturing facility, but there's sort of a fear of drift, which I know you guys track, but my suspicion would be the closer it is to manufacturing, the cleaner it is clinically. So how would you feel about having a in-office device, which is doing like hundreds and hundreds of tests with different people then?
I actually think there'd probably be less tests in office because all of us are using it so frequently in our daily lives, you know, like, oh, I just had some popcorn.
Yeah, the main thing for us would just be, you know, to get the longest life out of any device is not to do too many breath tests in one day. So we say to people, try to keep it, below about 10 or 12. Like if you're doing a challenge, that's going to be like 12 or 13 breath tests. But, you know, day to day for a given device, if it's only been used 5, 10 times, that's where it's going to last as long as possible. We definitely suggest that from that perspective.
Yeah, and kind of one more point on kind of extending the life. When breathing into the device, breathe as gently as possible. You get the most accurate reading because then you get to measure the very end of your breath, and that's really what you want to measure. But also, it reduces the amount of condensation that goes into the device. So breathing gently and consistently into the device definitely will increase the life. I've had my first generation device since I joined Food Marble and it still works perfectly. Definitely it does have a long lifespan, but I suppose to Josh's point about sanitizing between patients, that's definitely something that we haven't really looked at.
Yeah, well, I guess the mouthpiece on the front of the device can be clipped off and, you know, you can clean that down in, you know, just soap and water or like, you know, if you want to just clean the mouthpiece. But yeah, it's not something we are aware of people doing before, but it's, yeah, just I guess whatever you think is suitable in terms of just, you know, germs and that sort of thing would be important too.
Use your common sense, which
and just a quick follow-up question on that for Claire and Angus. So would the tracking for drift get thrown if it's different users? Like, you don't have to tell us what your black box is, but if you're constantly doing different, it's not the same person over time. So does that throw your ability to track to see if it's
no, that wouldn't be a factor. No.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
So Angus, you have some announcements a little bit ahead of ourselves on this, but I wanted to, because some people have come to the two other sessions we've done on Food Marble. And some of you are brand new and, you know, semi-educated by maybe looking at the site or whatever, but you have some updates of what is to come as early as next month. And if you already have the device, you're grandfathered in on this. And if you decided to get a device, by the way, we have the lowest price anywhere with our coupon code. I arm wrestled with them for the lowest price anywhere. code, and they were very kind to share that with us. And Clarissa's putting it in the chat. If you do have the device or you're getting the device right now, you are grandfathered into these app upgrades automatically, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's not like if they do something new to the app, which is what is interfacing with the device, you're going to have to like pay to get the upgrade. So that's, we love that. And Angus had a couple of announcements about what is coming in, as I like to say, what's coming in hot.
Yeah, yeah, I'd be glad to just do a, I can do a share screen here and go through a couple of those. And there's some other updates that are coming, really soon, like that I don't mention here. So we're all the time trying to improve what we can show to people. Like in the Q&A, somebody asked about meal logging. We're vastly expanding the amount of foods that you can log. So we've got some, you know, pretty sophisticated technology now to be able to enable people to scan a barcode in a supermarket or to search for different types of branded foods as well, so that you can log them and we can give you an estimate of the FODMAP composition. Because for us, it's very important to know what's in the food. It's not like a lot of food tracking apps where you just kind of need to know the calories or the protein content or whatever it is. For us, we need to know, is there anything there that's going to ferment into gases when you eat it? So we've built a technology we already have tons and tons of like non-branded foods, like anything you'd imagine in a grocery store without a barcode on it. We can do that already. So lots of fruits, veg, nuts, seeds, all that stuff.
Are you forwarding your slides? Cause we only see the front slide.
Yeah. So I am, but that's just one I don't cover in here. So
no. We only see your food marble navy blue slide, Angus.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so okay. I'll flick through, but I didn't cover in this slideshow. I didn't cover the that extra food meal logging aspect. Awesome. But that's coming soon.
Okay. Great.
So one of the things that people have been asking for is the ability to be able to track medications and supplements. So especially if they're working with a practitioner, to be able to track different things that they're consuming that might relate to their journey with SIBO or IBS or just understanding their digestion. So people will be able to log different supplements and medications. They can also set reminders. So if they want, if they don't, you know, just to ensure they don't miss any particular dose that they need to take. And so this will be coming out early September. So I've got a few screenshots. In the menu, you'll see the option to log medications and supplements. When you go into that screen, it will show you stuff you've logged before. So in this example, I've got a few things in here that the person has logged before. But you can also do a search. So when you tap on search here, that will bring you through. And in this example, I typed in gas and it's showing some products that have gas in the name. We'll basically have a database of different medications and supplements. So just to make it really easy for you to find what you want. And if it's not there, you can create basically a custom entry. So you can provide the name of what it is that you're taking as well.
Okay, this is very exciting for me personally, because I am not the most compliant human being. And for me to be able to finally get direct feedback and me not think it's in my imagination is going to be huge. I'm so excited about that. And also the reminder thing, thank you. Because I have all these apps that are just reminders. I have my phone alarm, blah, blah, blah. I have notes and sticky notes everywhere. I have caps on the tops of supplement bottles that have an alarm on them. So thank you. That is fantastic. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and here's like in the trend section, because I know many people who are looking at this from a SIBO perspective, they're looking at the trend section and they're looking at their breath readings over time. There'll also be a little section in there to show you your medications. So to keep it simple, I'm assuming this person is like logging a few different types of medications. So the first letter of the medication will appear in a little dot. You might see here all these X's here. So that's this person's taking a course of Xifaxan. And, you know, when you tap on the dot, you'll see a label to tell you what it is. So they're having Xifaxan and Culturelle, and there's also Buscopan in there. So just three different medications that they're working through. So that's the first thing I wanted to show. The second thing.
How many medications and supplements can we put in there?
As much as you like, the more that's in there, like the harder it might be to see everything. But there can be multiple things on the same day, and it will, they'll just stack up on top of each other. So in this example, that on a particular day, they logged the Faxen and Culturelle. And so when you tap on it on the dot itself, you'll see all the different medications you logged on that day. And it, in the view for your actual day, it'll be easier to see because it's not as compressed a space.
What does the B stand for there?
That's actually Buscopan. So that's a different medication.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Oh, the X is for Xifaxan. I'm with you. Okay, great.
Yeah. We were going to use different colors, but we thought it might get a bit complicated to look at if you're seeing all these different colors at the same time. So, but very open to everyone's feedback on any of these features.
Okay, great. And we're going to talk about, I see some of the questions coming in the chat. Isabel and Micheline, please put them in the Q&A. Put your questions in the Q&A box and we will get to them. Okay, that's yes. Very cool, I guess. Thank you.
Yeah, the next one. So this is something that some people, especially where people are, you know, tracking their SIBO over time, and they want to kind of see specifically, what are my hydrogen levels? What are my methane levels? Because right now we combine them together into a fermentation score. And in terms of hydrogen and methane, you're seeing the share of each. So you're seeing the proportions of each that are in the sample. So we have that fermentation score from 0 to 10. It combines both hydrogen and methane, and it's showing you the proportions of each. And it shows you the total. So that's, I've got a screenshot which will make that a little clearer in the next slide. But we're implementing a second approach where you can split them into, you can split them out into two. So that will make it much easier for people to be able to, if they want to just focus on methane or they want to just focus on hydrogen, they can do that. So we're planning to launch this in September. And so here's kind of what it looks like today. So the meals are the green kind of pillars there, those green columns. So that's, the, you know, relates to the amount of FODMAPs in the meal. But like what you see here is the light color, the light blue color, that's hydrogen. And the darker blue color is methane. And the line is the total fermentation score. So so basically, what you're seeing there is that like what's the proportions of each. So you can see hydrogen is a much bigger proportion for this person. Like initially it's about 50-50, but then like towards the middle of the later part of the day, it's probably something like 3/4 hydrogen they're producing. So the only place where this kind of gets really tricky is where when we initially launched the device, we kind of we basically capped the levels so that, you know, once you got above a certain level, it, you know, it couldn't get any higher than 10. So we wanted to make it possible for people to see the difference between like high levels and very high levels. So once you get above about 8 on the fermentation score, it basically increases less quickly. So Siobhan gave a great example of, or analogy of this. It's like when you're blowing up a balloon, like it's easy at first, but then towards the end, it gets harder and harder. So once you get above about 8 fermentation score, the levels do rise more slowly. So that's something to bear in mind. But I'll show you an example of what this can change to. So if you click that little kind of gear icon, that little settings icon on the top right of the breath screen there, it will bring up this menu. And so you can switch between combined or stacked and separate. So combines what we have today, separates the new mode you can enable. And so you'll see now when they're separate, it's not about the proportions anymore. It is just showing you a separate fermentation score for both. And like one effect of this is it's much less likely to get up to about 8 or 10. So it's actually much simpler. So
it's like the same result interpreted differently. So it's easier to understand.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll show an example for, so if you go into the trend section, this is what it looks like today. We've got the week on the left, and we've got the month view on the right, so the month view covering like a whole month. Mm-hmm. When they're separated out, they'll look a bit different. Like it means hydrogen can be, or methane can get higher than hydrogen. It just depends on which is higher. And, you know, but it just means if you want to track one of those, you can. Nice. Yeah. So that kind of makes it much simpler, for people who really want to zero in on one of the gases in particular. And there is some rules of thumb about being able to, convert into PPMs if you want to do that. So that should help. I think people.
It's a little formula.
Yeah. So that's kind of the end of the slideshow, but I just wanted to share those features.
No, that's very exciting. Thank you. And what that also says to me is, this is new. And you guys are developing new upgrades to it all the time and new ways to use it and listening to people like Dr. Goldenberg and going, oh, okay, that's a good idea. And listening to your, patients and practitioners. So it's very exciting. And what I also wanted to say, if you all wanted to try the device, get the device today with our coupon, which is floating around in the chat, it's 16% off. And you also, if you send to info@SIBOSOS, get Dr. Allison Seebecker's award-winning naturopath, SIBO specialist, Dr. Allison Seebecker, her underlying causes masterclass, which a lot of you all did. Thank you so much for that. I'm so glad you have that information during the last session we did together. So as a gift with purchase, we are giving you the underlying causes masterclass, which is phenomenal. And there are a lot of people that just bought that separately for either $59 or $99, depending if we had it on sale. So literally hundreds over the years that we've been offering it. So wanted to explain that. And then also Dr. Goldenberg's phenomenal presentation that he did a couple of weeks ago, that is coming down off of our free sites. And in the future will be either $59 or $99, depending on if you get it during our specials. So with the purchase of an Air 2 now, we will be including that as well. So it's a beautiful combination of training and also addressing underlying causes. So that's coming up. And that's a possibility for you. So Noosh is asking this question, even though I'm not supposed to be looking at the chat, which is, can you diagnose SIBO with this? That is not the intent of the device. However, I do have some anecdotes of where people have, figured out that they have SIBO from this. Now, we love Gemelli Labs. We love Dr. Pimentel. We love TrioSmart. And so if you want all three breath tests done and sort of that gold standard of what's been validated, then TrioSmart's a phenomenal way to go. Shout out, Ani. And then you could use, for example, the food marble in between times to see how your gas is doing. Anecdotally, we do have some people who have, through a challenge setting in the app, done their own little informal breath test where they did the diet, which is the same as you would do with lab, did the 12-hour fast, took the substrate, and then did every 15 minutes for their 3 hours. And so that is possible. That's not the intent of the device. Some people have been using it that way, sort of off label. And so I wanted to share that with you in full disclosure of both ways. So,
well, and also this is how Josh has been using it. Of course, he's not a patient, he's a practitioner.
Right. And Dr. Seebecker and I were also talking about the financial ramifications of using the Air 2, because it's incredible. Like for me, for patients who are dealing with, they've done the IBS smart test at Gemelli Labs, they realize that they have the antibodies so from food poisoning. So they have the post-infectious IBS. And, we depending on what's going on in life and did I have another bout of food poisoning and ebbing and flowing? I love the idea of being able to check gas levels. And oh, darn it, I forgot to do my prucalopride twice last week. Can you believe it? What is happening? So, just to get some feedback from gas levels, I think is phenomenal. So you all will decide how you're going to use this for yourself. And that's some of the freedom about this device. Now, additionally, they do have a kit. For example, remember food, SIBO and EMO cause food intolerances. So it's I'm glad we're clarifying that. And Dr. Seebecker and I have talked about this, for example, with Dr. Harlack as well. That was a really cool video we did with him earlier in the year. But just about how food intolerances tend to clear up after your SIBO is an EMO is cleared. So then that's the perfect time to do the food intolerance testing that the Air Chew also provides. And can Angus or Claire or Josh, Josh, do you use the food intolerance substrates of like the lactose, not to be confused with lactulose, and fructose, et cetera, in your practice?
Yeah, I used to. So, you know, you can formally use those for SIBO as well as lactose and fructose intolerance, those in particular. So, yeah, I especially early on, I was having people, they have a little intolerance kit where you can get the four different packages, and they're dosed appropriate, like lactose and fructose are dosed the way you would use to look at lactose and fructose intolerance. So it's kind of set up perfectly to just use that. So, yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very cool. Someone's asking if Dr. Seebecker and I own Food Marble and therefore share in financial returns. No, we are affiliates. So if you do purchase through our links, in full disclosure, we would receive a small percentage. It does not affect your price of purchase. Instead, actually, I was able to negotiate the lowest price anywhere because of that. And we love it when you're financial because Dr. Seebecker and I do so many things for free and we need to pay our team. There you go. Okay. Let's see. Let's get to some more questions. I don't know why we can't copy the chat, David. Okay. Let's see. Hold on. I have this. Remember, if you do buy it today, be sure to send us at info@sibosos.com your proof of purchase so you can get those two masterclasses. So Kathleen is saying, Food Marble instructions say not to take antibiotics for a good reading. Does this include the anti-SIBO herbs? And how can we best use the marble without stopping our treatment? Anyone?
I think Josh, you should take that one.
Go for Josh.
So it kind of depends. I'd love Claire, Angus, and Allison's thoughts on this too. So for like traditionally for formal diagnosis, like initial diagnosis, like generally you avoid being on any antimicrobials usually for 2 weeks. I would include herbal antibiotics in that or antimicrobials in that. What you often see though, the way a lot of SIBO docs are using it is we're doing follow-up testing or, you know, is there resolution and things like that. And that on purpose, I personally do not tell them to stop on purpose. I want to know if you're actively at this level of symptoms right now on this herb or drug, what are your gas levels blowing? So for me, that's how I use it. So I do use that 2 week window. I would include herbs for formal initial diagnoses. But not for follow-up, did we get to remission, things like that.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's very sensible.
Right. Very smart approach.
I'll just say one other thing. Sometimes there are people who are, when we're talking about using it for SIBO testing, there are people who are on intermittent antimicrobials, antibiotics, due to a condition. And so we actually want to test them, but they're having symptoms. We want to test them as they are. So if this is a part of their life and symptoms are a part of their life. So really to me, in terms of SIBO testing, avoiding antibiotics is for the initial test, just so you don't have falsely low levels, but you can certainly test if it's a normal part of your life.
Okay, cool. All right, let's see. Let me get back to our wonderful Q&A, the Q's and the A's. Let's see, I think we kind of talked about that. What happened? Wait, this is it. What happens when you have high methane in the morning, but it drops throughout the day? Dr. Goldenberg, do you see that? And what is that like? Does that tell you anything as a practitioner?
Yeah, I've got my thoughts. I'm really particularly curious on Claire's on this one. My understanding is that let's say you have dinner right before bed and like go to sleep, the GI system in a way kind of shuts down. And so what will happen in the morning is you might still be digesting and fermenting, you know, food that you had previously. And if there are methanogens in the large intestine, they're making a lot of methane. And so you might blow a really high methane, even though you haven't had breakfast yet. And that's usually throws patients a lot. And then over time that can get digested down unless you're eating a lot more food that flares it up. That would be my best guess. Does that make sense from the scientific perspective, Claire?
Yeah, I think so. I would agree with that. I think, yeah, eating a large meal late, often people would see quite high levels in the morning. Or probably another scenario, if someone has slower digestion, they're still seeing that kind of leftover from their previous meal, even if it wasn't that late. So yeah, I'd agree.
Okay, let's see here. Okay. Hold on. Anne says you guys are great. Let's see. Okay, lots of just love. Thank you for the love in the chat. We're in the Q&A box too. We appreciate that. So what do you say for people who are trying to get a hold of lactulose and aren't able to because it's a prescription in the United States? Just use glucose?
I would say use fructose because of the class we had with Dr. Jason Horlock. For anyone who doesn't know, we did a free class with him back in February, and he did some in-office testing, and he showed that fructose actually, fructose plus lactulose, if you did one test then the other, was the best at discovering SIBO. And then next was fructose, and then lactulose, if you're just doing a single test. So that is an option for people in the US who can't get lactulose because it's a prescription.
Okay, cool. Can you use the food intolerance kit with the original air?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. And that's the one that is the FDA cleared medical device. Is that true?
Well, so we've got
explain what happened with the FDA, because that's cool.
Yeah. So we've got like two generations of device. Like we've basically got first generation hardware and a second generation hardware, and there's a medical and consumer version of both. So we've got Air 1 and MedAir 1. And so MedAir is a medical device. And then we've got Air 2 and MedAir 2. And so, you know, the devices themselves are pretty similar, but the main difference is the medical device is classified as an FDA class 1 device. And, you know, typically the clinician will be working with, a dashboard. And so it's sort of, for all intents and purposes, MedAir 2 and Air 2 are not that different, but you know, it is certainly different from the clinician perspective, and there's lots of reasons for that. But from the patient's or the consumer's perspective, you know, they're very similar.
Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, everyone, you are getting a replay of this. So if we're going too fast or whatever, don't worry, you will get the replay. When it comes to the fructose and glucose, if you're ordering the food intolerance kit is the extra or the combo, because that can be done as well. You get those substrates, you get them in little packets. But I know we talked about how you can also very easily order those, like on Amazon, to get fructose, glucose, and what else can you get?
Oh, you can get sugar alcohols, mannitol and sorbitol you can get. And my local grocery store sells crystalline fructose in a bulk bin, you know, so you could just get it at my local grocery store, and, you know, glucose, you can get all kinds of things.
Okay. So that's good to know. So it's not like, you know, lactulose is its own thing for getting a script, but these other substrates do have a lot more availability.
Can I just say on that for like, if you wanted to do lactulose, in my experience, since I can't prescribe lactulose in my state as a naturopath, I am having zero problems with patients reaching out to their primary care docs. I give them the dose that they need, which is 10 grams in a 15 mil solution. And I ask them to ask for like 5 or 6 refills. I'm like literally like zero issues, because especially if you have constipation, it's like FDA approved for constipation. So it's a very safe, cheap med. And they come back with this bottle and they just pour out 15 mils every time they want to do a test. So whereas all these over-the-counter things are great, and I use them too, like I am not seeing issues with people requesting. It's not like you're requesting some crazy antibiotic. Like, you're requesting a super safe med that you can pick up at your local pharmacy. And it's really easy. You just pour out 15 mils and do another 15 mils next time you want to do a formal test.
Yeah. By the way, lactulose is prescription in the US, but it, to my knowledge, in no other country in the world. So, you know, it's just a laxative, you know, in terms of its use as a substance other than for SIBO testing. And so that's why, yeah, Josh, great advice. Just asking your primary care, can you give me some lactulose? Like, probably no one will have an issue with it. No one.
Yeah,
request the right gram amount so you could do have that. If you want to have a formal diagnosis, it's based on 10 grams of lactulose.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Does Medicare cover this, Angus Clare?
Go ahead, Angus.
Yeah, well, so I mean, for people in terms of insurance coverage, so the consumer device can you know, is covered. If people have FSA or HSA, which are those kind of like cards that some people have with their insurance where they can pay for certain things with, right. That's covered. In terms of Medicare, Medicare, Medicaid, and like kind of private insurance as well. You know, the medical device would only be applicable there. So the consumer device couldn't be covered by, you know, government or private insurance. But that would also be bought via your clinician. So you'd have to be working with your clinician to access that.
Okay. All right. Lara is saying it sounds like it's most useful for lower levels of SIBO gases. So that would be methane and hydrogen, because it does not do hydrogen sulfide. That is Gemelli Labs. And I know they're working on it, but that's the Trio Smart wonderful test. Would that be fair? So is it?
Siobhan, I wonder if the person is, because we didn't have anyone explain the difference between the fermentation score and the PPM. And I wonder if this person is thinking that it only goes to 10 on the fermentation score means PPM. So I don't know, Josh, you're nodding. Does somebody want to explain that?
Actually, Angus, can you address that? Because you showed us the two slides, the two pictures of the app. So you're developing something to help have a patient be able to interpret the fermentation levels useful way.
If somebody wants to translate the fermentation score back to PPMs, at the lower levels, so up to about 8 on the fermentation score, you know, a pretty good approximation is just to multiply the number by 5. So for example, if you've got a fermentation score of 1, that's actually 5 PPMs. If you've got 2, 10 PPMs. And, you know, it goes up, in a very clear way up to about 8, but above 8, see, it can't go above 10. So we don't want it to just cap out at 10 for people who are getting high levels. We want people to be able to notice a difference if they're going from 50 ppms to 100 ppm, because some people produce a lot of fermentation. And so it's good to be able to see, especially if you might have SIBO and you're tracking to see, are your levels going down on a day-to-day basis over time? You want to see a difference between 100 and 80 and 70. So when you're up above 8, those levels are typically pretty high. But there's a big difference between 9 and 9.5. It gets a little bit more complicated, but you know, fundamentally, if you remember, you know, multiplying the number by 5 works up until about 8. After that, you're up at very high levels, and then it's just really a case of you know you're probably looking to bring those levels down over time.
Okay. And then who can see PPMs?
The practitioner, the clinician, you know, anyone who's got access to the clinical dashboard can see the PPMs. So that's a great reason to work with a doctor, to work with somebody who can give you some advice as well on what that means and how the information can be used.
One last thing is I saw a question come in early on. Somebody said something like, are you going to make it available for everybody to see PPM? Somebody asked that question early on.
Yeah.
I've asked this, and I'm going to be your interpreter for a second, Angus. So they have this new thing that he showed on the app. map that they're developing and bringing out in September, that it's not going to be spelled out as PPM. It's going to be that grade that goes up to 10. And whatever that level is, you multiply it times 5. And that is akin to a PPM reading, not an exact. Is that true, Angus?
Yeah, well, so the thing about when they're split out into hydrogen and methane separately, it becomes very easy to just, if you're interested in the methane number, when they're separated out, just multiply it by 5, unless it's above 8. But it's not that common where you get really, really high levels of methane. But it's really common to get methane that might be 20 ppm, 40 ppm. That's really common. But again, when they're split out, it's much less likely to reach those higher levels. So like if you have a fermentation of score of 4 on hydrogen and 4 on methane, you know, you're up to 8. But when they're separated out, it's only 4 and 4. So you've got a lot of headroom before it gets complicated. So yeah, so separating it out just makes it easier for people to look at those levels individually and to be able to see it, you know, a greater range, more precisely, I guess.
But also just to add, I think the plan, well, we're hoping to show PPM to everybody, as we're just getting an advice on it right now. So that will likely be down the line. But right now, that's kind of the next best thing.
Oh, that's right. Exciting.
Yeah, that's great. So it's a little bit of a hybrid sort of hack. Yeah. Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. They're always the best.
Because that way you'll have most accuracy and least boo-boos, mistakes. So a couple of people have been asking, like, let's say they have their Air2, they're using it, and they want to share their results with their nutritionist. So then can the nutritionist create an account with Food Marble and have access to the dashboard?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we'd say is if you could ask your nutritionist to email us, they can use the email clinical@foodmarble.com, and we'll get in contact with the nutritionist, get them set up, and you know, give them a demo of how to use the interface to see the results. And so it's easy. We can get that set up once they make contact with us.
And I actually think a lot of dietitians that are using the dashboard already, they get very excited when they use the Excel export function, so they can export the food diary and all the components, so they don't have to look at the handwritten food diaries, and it's quite accurate, and they can do quite quick analysis on it. So yeah, it's designed, you know, in mind of the dietitian from the food perspective. So yeah, I think they'd get a lot of benefit from it.
Isabella is saying, I'm a nutritionist and they were super fast. I set up my account with them. Cool. That's great. Fantastic. Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
We try our best.
Yeah. So, okay. So we aren't going to go too long today. I just wanted to cover some of these things. And I wanted to say, first of all, thank you all so much for coming. For those of you who have come to these multiple sessions on Food Marble, and I hope that this is a tool that you will consider so that you can work with your practitioner and you can take the information that you've been learning from all the free webinars and the courses and the summits and all of that, and, you know, help yourself to get well. And this is, to me, a beautiful step in hope and having feedback. I mean, I'll just speak for myself. There've been so many times, especially back in 2014 through 2016, where I was just like, I have no idea what's going on. I was just like very confused and frustrated and, you know, was eating an apple a day because I thought it kept the doctor away, you know, all this, you know, all these false attempts until I met Dr. Seebecker, who got me on track and, really saved me from so much frustration and going down rabbit holes that were dead ends. And her algorithm that, you know, she uses with her patients, that is the foundation for the SIBO Pro course and the SIBO Recovery Roadmap and my book, really is an answer and hope. And so this feedback is phenomenal. And I really appreciate your work, Angus and Claire and Dr. Goldenberg and Dr. Seebecker. It means so much to all of us as patients, and Dr. Pimentel and all of the researchers at MAS program at Cedars-Sinai and, you know, the Gemelli Labs and Aerodiagnostics and Quintron and all of these people who are so devoted in the practitioners to helping all of us get well. And, you know, someone was just typing in that their doctor doesn't believe in lactulose. Okay. So my, I have a spiritual teacher and she says, you don't need to believe when you know. So you need to just read the research or have that person read the research. This is not a religion. They don't have to believe squat. They just need to read the research. And for example, Dr. Goldenberg, you know, his buzzword for the day today is evidence. And so I love that you were saying that during your bio, because that's what this can provide. And just get into the research because it is there. So a couple of things. We have a new development that we will share with you, which is a page from SIBO SOS that Dr. Seebecker and I have been working on, which is about testing. So we're going to put this webinar here on that page. We have interviews with Ani Pundit from Gemelli Labs about IBS Smart and Trio Smart. And then we also have, we have a couple other things on there too. And it's all about breath testing. So you're going to be able to be your own, you know, expert to go and work with your practitioner and also work in between your times for your appointments and really have an overview of what is offered in the marketplace today. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. And that's going to come out shortly. And we're excited about that. If you decided to pick up a food marble on Air 2 today, you do get the 16% off when you use our code. We do ask you to use our code. It helps us to continue to do free things for you over time. And also, we will be giving you Josh's very in-depth presentation about food marble and his clinical experience and research. Is a three-parter. We weren't even able to show you the whole thing last time because it was so fabulous and so dense with incredible information. And then also Dr. Allison Seebecker's underlying causes. So these are two gifts with purchase that we set up for you. All you need to do is email us your proof of purchase to info@SIBOSOS and we will send them out to you. So I think with that, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. Thank you, Dr. Seebecker, for being my co-host. And thank you, Dr. Goldenberg, for agreeing to come on yet another Q&A. I appreciate that. And Claire, Dr. Short and Angus, thank you for your good works and wanting to support this community. And keep up the good work. And it's beautiful to see how growth is happening there and how we're all going to be having even more and more aspects of support. So thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, so much.
Thank you all.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks, Clarissa. Bye. Thank you so much. So I'll stay on for a second or two. I'll let you all go, and we will get the replay out ASAP. Hopefully, the plan is before end of day, so you guys can come on in and watch. And please do take advantage of that special. Thanks, guys and gals.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. I know, Deb, their accents are fabulous, aren't they? I'm sure they're amused by ours. Okay. Okay, Linda, Laura, thank you. Oh, cool. Okay, great. Great. Laura's saying that their practitioner is actually sharing the report with them. Is there a quick one-page information source that a patient can provide their practitioner who don't believe and or know about SIBO? I would send them to SIBOinfo.com, and there's a whole research section there that Dr. Seebecker works so hard on updating all the time. So, and this device is no problem in New York. Is that true?
No. So I know in New York, there's an issue around lab tests, mm-hmm. but this is more on the medical device side. So it's okay.
Okay, cool. Let's see. What's the difference between the medical and consumer device?
They're functionally the same. I mean, they look different. They have different packaging, different printed materials. The app is different from the healthcare app is a bit different, but no, functionally the same.
Okay.
The doctor can bill for reimbursement using the medical device, but they couldn't bill for reimbursement using the consumer device.
So the consumer device is medical grade. So it's not a case of like one is better than the other or anything like that.
Is there an option to download the app onto our desktop Mac?
Well, no, but it can be installed on an iPad. It might look a bit strange because the screen is so big, but you know, if people are looking for something that's easier to read, they could try it on an iPad or they've got like an Android tablet or something like that.
So Helen was having an issue, emailed food marble, didn't get a solution. So Helen, I want to share, what's the customer service email, guys?
It's hello@foodmarble.com is the,
foodmarble.com. What I have found is that their customer service is phenomenal. So, I mean, nobody's perfect, right? But tell them I sent you. Should go far.
You know, sometimes people will have an issue and sometimes it takes a bit of time to figure it out, but like we're happy to work through issues with people.
Okay, yeah. Great. All right. Mahalo. Hi, Leah. Thank you. Is it available overseas? Catherine is asking.
Yes. Yeah. So it's available in North America. So US, Canada, Europe, including the UK, and Australia, New Zealand right now. So they're the countries we cover at the moment.
Doug saying he has his on his iPad. Works great. Mahalo, Vanesh Sharma, so close to Sarna. I love my fellow Indian names. I treat a lot of SIBO here in Hawaii. Maybe this was already asked. Can I track many different patients if I get them to purchase a device? So are there multiple? Yeah, you can in the patient portal.
Yeah, like, exactly. They can have
access patient portal, I should say.
Yeah, they can have multiple patients and they can hide them over time if they don't want to see them all. So.
Okay. And then Leah's saying, can they email the clinical team directly or do you have to go through customer service?
Oh, no. clinical@foodmarble.com to get through to the clinical guys. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Cheryl, yes, you could see. So what if you don't have a practitioner? Would you be able to read and understand the results? Yes, you would. So that's what we were showing, those new updates to the app. And yes is the answer. You know, we always,
if they're unsure, we can definitely help. So a lot of people will contact us and we kind of help them go through the results. So we're happy to do that.
That is not a substitute for medical advice. That is not a substitute for a visit with a practitioner. We can't say that enough. It's definitely all of our intention to have you get the best support you can have. This is sort of an adjunct to those appointments. And some people who are super, you know, savvy patients who are like, this is my jam. I love apps. I love technology. I love feedback. This is a tool you can really use on a daily basis to give you that kind of live feedback. And there are some anecdotally who are using this to figure out if they have SIBO relapse. And you would do that as a challenge. There's a challenge section of the app. And it's pretty clear once you get in there. It is not intended to be a replacement at this time for a SIBO breath test as a diagnostic tool. So, however, you guys use your common sense, work with these great labs that are out there, use this as a tool, use it as you see fit, and we hope you will use it because I think it is a really valuable device and a lot of help.
Definitely. We do have a lot of users who are working with clinicians and practitioners to diagnose SIBO with the device.
Like Dr. Goldenberg.
Sorry, Claire.
I was going to say we can suggest, like, if somebody's not sure if there's a practitioner in the area, we can help with that.
Oh,
as
I
well.
Love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So reverse engineering it.
Yeah.
We've created a program called Food Marble Connect. So connecting our current consumers with practitioners who will help them interpret the results.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
See you.
Bye.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Bye, everyone. Thanks so much. Thanks, Clarissa.
Bye.
Bye.